Mu'adim L'Simcha World. Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim in HaKadosh, is daf Nun Gimel. And remember, we're in the middle of the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda, on the one hand, who says that since it says in the Pasuk, Zeh Yelecha Mikodesh HaKadoshim in HaEish, so that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Kayanim their Chelek Lecha. That means Lecha, as we always dashim, is Lecha Lecha Tzrachecha. So if a Kohen wants to use his chelek, even a kodesh kodashim, to be mekadesh as a isha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, she's mekadeshes. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, he learned that the inyan is comparing the lecha to the eish. And just like the eish is for achila only, that's the achila samizbeach, is what we call the ishim, so too is the achila of the Kohen, the only purpose of giving it to the Kohen. But for anything else, it doesn't belong to him. So the last thing that we learned yesterday was that Rabbi Yochanan said that in the end, they took a vote, and basically they ended up being mekabel that the halacha is that a mekadesh b'chelko, lo kiddush, doesn't matter whether it's kachin kachin, whether it's kachin kalim, which means that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda ultimately changed his mind and agreed that, it's not recording here, and agreed that you have to actually own it, and this is not called owning it. Whereas Rav Amar, not true. It's still a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda never gave in. There never was a vote on it. And therefore, we have the machlokes the way we always had it. Om Rabbi. Kavase de Rabbi Yochanan Mistav. It's much more reasonable to learn it the way that Rabbi Yochanan learned it. The Tanya. So Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Yehuda actually changed his mind in the end when they took a vote. The Tanya. What's wrong? I'm not able to get this going. I'll have to rely on the Zoom. No, I don't need, I have a Zoom. Kavasi Rabbi Yochanan Mistav. It's more reasonable to say that Rabbi Yehuda did change his mind because we see in a brisa that it only makes sense that Rabbi Yehuda says what he says if he had changed his mind and he agreed that a mekadesh b'chelkei, it's not mekudeshes, and that the meaning of the lecha is that we're comparing the lecha to the eish, the way Rabbi Yossi was learning, and therefore the Kayan does not actually own the Mishulchan Gavaya, and he can't use it for anything else than what it was given for. It was given for burning. Burning, obviously, the body does exactly the same thing that the eish does. It actually burns. It combines it with oxygen, and it consumes it. And therefore, we're talking about achila and eish as being essentially the same thing. So that when a human eats and digests, he's essentially converting exactly the way that the Mizbeach is converting the food into energy. So that means eish, that's the only purpose of giving it to him. And where do we see this? Says it by, I'll prove it to you that Rabbi Yehuda must have changed his mind. Just take a look at this brass. How do we know that Kohanim do not have the right to give over a piece of their mincha that they were zeicha to in exchange for someone else's chelek in a zevach? So maybe he's got a chaz of a shirk, the other guy has, if we're talking about kachin kalim, or maybe we're talking about the chelek of the chatas and the yasham, if we're talking about kachin kachim, and mincha is always kachin kachim. Anyway, we'll show you from the pasuk, it says in the Braita, that there's no way to switch any of these korbanos. Why? Because the Torah says specifically that v'chol mincha. Now, v'chol mincha means any mincha, because it's going to come out, it's fascinating, that the Torah lists every single one of the menachas individually to tell me that they all have to go to the Kohen HaMakriv, I say. And there's no need to list everyone individually. We know what the menachas are. All you need to say is that kol ha-menachot, the Kohen HaMakriv utalotiye. Instead, what does it say? V'chol ha-mincha asher teyafe batanur. Okay, so we have ma'afe tanur. V'chol ha-naseh b'marcheshet. Okay, so now we have a minchas marcheshet. V'chol ha-machavat. Okay, so now we've got a third mincha. And v'chol mincha b'lulah v'shemen. And v'chol mincha chareva. V'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh ish ki achiv. Just tell me, kol mincha li'aronu l'achiv, right? I don't need all of this detail. There's no chiddush in it. Therefore, comes along the Braita in the Sifra to say each one of those examples is meant to add an additional thing that you're not able to split one chelik for another chelik. And even though the others are not menachas, it doesn't matter because it's an imeno inyan. I don't need the pasuk to tell me that the mincha must be coming to tell me something else. So what is that something else? So says the Sifra, let's go step by step, okay? The most obvious thing is that you cannot split an agricultural product with an animal product of a zevach. Right? Zevach means something that you shech with a knife. So it doesn't even include birds. Talmud Lomar is, remember, birds are done by melika by kodesh, which is your body. Okay, so the first case is v'chol mincha she'teyafeh v'tanur v'chol b'nei aron tiyah. Fine. Okay, I understand. So that's the most extreme case. I can't be mechalik minachor kineged zvachim, but maybe that's because shelo kamu tachteim bedalut. If you've got a korban oil of a yoreh that you need to bring, then in those cases, if you can't afford the zevach, you can't bring a mincha instead of a zevach. You can't afford the zevach. The next step down to see if you can afford it would be a bird. And then if you can't even afford an oaf, so then you're able to go to a mincha. In which case, I might say that there's obviously two steps between a zevach to a mincha. Maybe that's why the Torah says you can't give your chelik and a mincha for a chelik and a zevach or vice versa. But maybe, because over there's only one step. So you want to exchange your chelik and a mincha for someone else's chelik in an oaf that was brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Well, after all, the Torah does allow you to bring a korban mincha instead of an oaf, so that means that they're much closer and they're almost in the same set. Maybe over there you would be able to exchange your chelek in an oaf for someone else's chelek in a mincha. No, Talmud Lomar, therefore we add this other case. V'chol na'asa b'marcheshet, v'chol b'nei aron tiyah. What do we need that other case for? Imeinu eini l'mincha. Let's give it to this additional halacha, even to split a mincha for a knife. So maybe you would say that the reason that you can't do that is because, look, I mean, they're so totally different. One of them is animal life and one of them is agricultural. I mean, you can't split those, put those two and say, ah, it's the same thing. You take my chelik and this. It's a totally different set of things. But maybe I also only have one step between zvachim, meaning things that require shechita, and things that require malika. So maybe I should be able to split a bird for a zevach, because at least both of them are animal products. Shalolo v'alolo mine dori. So maybe I could do that. Therefore, I need yet another remez in the pasuk. Talmud lomar, mincha al machavat. Same thing about al machavat. Okay. Yocho lo yachlku ofot keneged zvachim. So maybe the reason that I can't do that is because of the fact that you have basically two totally different types of Aveda over there. Because if you're talking about a zevach that's done with a knife. Masha'in came, the din of the oath is that it has to be done with your hand. I understand, so then you can't do that. But how about just splitting a mincha for a mincha? So I've got one mincha, you've got another mincha. Let me give you my chelek in a machavas, you give me your chelek in a mafet tanur, whatever. And, you know, we'll get along okay. I don't happen to like mafet tanur menachot, so I'll take your machavat. I like pancakes better. Okay. You might think that that would be okay. No, no, no. Talmud lomar, therefore we get another case in the pasuk. Nope, pancakes also. Has to go l'chol b'nei Aaron. Yocho lo yachlaku machavat k'neged marcheshet. So you might think that this is dafka, where you've got two completely different types. You've got a hard type of mincha and a soft kind of pancakey mincha. Maybe that's why the Torah says you can't split them, because after all, the marcheshet is called a marcheshet because of the fact that it's rochesh, it's a deep fry. Mashenke, if you make it in a machavat, over there it comes out much tougher because it's spread out across the actual pan. Shezo ma'aseim rakim, v'zo ma'aseim kashim. Maybe that's why the Torah said not to be machalik. But how about if I've got one pancakes, and you've got another kind of pancakes, and I would like to take a piece of yours. Or Marcheshet Keneg and Marcheshet. Where over there, they're totally the same in every way. So Halolov Halolov Maaseim Kashim, Halolov Halolov Maaseim Rakim, whatever. So do I have to actually keep the one piece that's given to me? I can't exchange it for you. I left my piece, you know, on the other side of the Azor. I don't schlep all the way over there. How about you give me, you come over to my area, I'll give you yours. Nope. Therefore, Talmud Lomar V'chareva L'chol B'nei Arantiyah. So even the same mincha has got to be split between all of the kohanim. Okay, so far we've been talking about menachas as the example, menachas and kachri kadashim, and the zvachim and the eifes that take their place maybe would be limited to kachri kadashim. I mean, the ofos are all kachri kadashim, and there's maybe the zvachim we're talking about are only kachri kadashim. But suppose somebody is a kohen and he's got a chelek in the chaz of a shok of a shlomi, or we've got the whatever chelek would be in a shlomi or a nozir, whatever the situation is, where B'nai Aaron have it, you might think that is okay, because in general, kochim kalim, we relate much more to the ownership of the balim, and therefore in this case, we also would have the kayanim not coming directly from Shulchan Gavaya, but being able to be zeicher as their own chelek, and it's not the chelek of the Eish. So it's a totally different thing. So lo yochel lo yachleku bekodesh hakodashim, ava yachleku bekodshim kalim, Talmud lomar, ish ki achiv, besamech le im al toidah yakriven. Now there's a toidah. Why does the Torah put the next posik of im al toidah right next to this pasuk about l'chol b'nei Aaron, which was talking about mincha, to tell me that the Torah is kachim kalim, and therefore the same way that I just told you, l'chol b'nei Aaron, kishem she'in kolkim b'kachim kachim, kachim kolkim b'kachim kalim. So therefore, we now know that there's no such thing as you being zocher in your chelek to do with it what you like, even to exchange it for someone else's achila. Now it's obvious that whoever is saying this would never allow you to use it to be Mekadosh and Isha. You can't even be chaylik it. It's not yours at all. Forget about it, even to exchange, right? Now, so far we don't know who's saying this, but if I is going to prove who's saying this, and he's going to show that it must be that Rabbi Yehuda never had karata. Then the next pasuk says that it's Ish B'davka, as it says over there. The halacha is specifically in terms of every individual has to be. So ish ki achiv. Why does it say ish ki achiv? It says it be chaylik be kol akayani. Ish ki achiv teaches me a different halacha. That an ish, meaning if he's already over bar mitzvah, so then he gets his own chaylik. When they split it between the kayanim, he gets his own chaylik. But a katan is not chalek. And since we know from another pasuk that it makes no difference whether you're a tam or a balmum in terms of the chaluka, that's not from here. But we're just bringing it in. Lamaisa, we have that limud, not from this pasuk. So in the same way that we know that a balmum, you would have thought maybe even a katan, no. A balmum is chalek if he's an ish. But a katan who's even a tam is not chalek. So put the two circum together and that's what we know. Ish ki achiv, ena katan chelek, afilu tam. Now, says Abaye, let me show you why I think that this tells me that actually Rabbi Yehuda was in the situation of after the vote, which Rabbi Yochanan claimed happened, who is the one who wrote the Sifra? And that we say that all of the inyanim of the Sifra go aliba de Rabbi Yehuda stam. So that it's all from his Talmidim and his Shitas. Stam Sifra Mani. So we have our general rule, like the Gemara says, that a Stam Sifra, Stam Mishnah we know is Rabbi Meir, but a Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. And he says that there's no Din Chaluka at all. Forget about using it for being Mekadosh and Isha. You can't even use it to exchange to ask somebody for a pancake if you happen to like his pancakes. That's crazy. So how could you tell me that all of a sudden Rabbi Yehuda holds that you cannot be, that you can be Mekadosh and Isha if you can't even split a pancake? That's obviously not yours. So you see from here that Huka Omar, the Lespa Din Chaluka Klal in the Sifra, And if that's the case, he obviously must have changed his mind. So he, even though in the other brisa he says that it's l'cha, meaning l'cha tzorchecha, and he argued on the diuk from Keish, he must have changed his mind, which is what Rabbi Yochanan was saying, that in the end, nimnu v'gomru, they took a vote, and there's no longer a anti-shita over here. Everybody accepted, obviously, the vote, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the Rabbi Yehuda went along, and now we'll paskin the way that the Besdin paskin here. Oh, my Rava, now wait a minute. You found me a braita in the Sifra that indicates that Rabbi Yehuda did change his mind. But there's also other braisas that are meduyek, like Rav, that he didn't change his mind. Because, take a look at this braisa. We know what happened after the death of Shimon HaTzadik. So remember, it used to be many, many things that were in effect as long as Shimon HaTzadik was alive during the second Beis HaMikdash, that there were all types of nisim, and the menorah kept burning, and the Ner Ma'arovi was burning even at night, and all kinds of things that showed that there was a greater presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that Beis HaMikdash. And that after the death of Shimon HaTzadik, one of the things that changed is that the bracha that had originally been shruya in the lechem haponim, which is that you could eat even a little amount of it and it would fill you up. So it was considered to be an achila legabe kachim. That was taken away. And remember, I mean, this is really a briskerov approach, but it's a fundamental understanding of the nature of achila bekachim. The nature of achila bekachim is not the mitzvah that you should eat. It's the mitzvah that it should be eaten. So, Mamela, if it allows you to get nourishment from it and fill you up, it's considered to be a mitzvah of achilas kachim. So, in those days, even a tiny amount was a nace that you would eat it and you would feel, wow, like you just ate a whole steak dinner. Okay, but after that was taken away, and it was not enough of the lechem haponim to actually give out a real kezias, so that you would have a chelik that is choshev, and therefore you could say, okay, the fact that it's gezayis itself that is roy to give a din of achila, that would be enough to be mekayim and mitzvah. So at that point, that's nuim boshchim et yedeihem. People that are tsanua, people that are sensitive, and they don't sit there, they don't believe life is competition to see who gets to sit closer to the Rebbe and who gets to get the Aliyah. They don't think that that's what life is all about. They don't think, I saw yesterday an amazing opportunity. You know, you could send in $180 and you could be zarcha to some Kabbalistic rabbi who's going to say Alinu L'Shabeach backwards and forward seven times as a tremendous segula on Hoshana Rabbah, but it's going to cost you $180. You know, okay, fine. I guess there's a lot of competition. And if you sign up for 12 months of this, you even get a certificate that you are an Alina L'Shabeach backwards and forwards Jew, which is an amazing, amazing madrega. Okay, so if you're collecting certificates, so then ain't achinami, push the other guy out of the way and grab your chelik. Exactly. But if that's not what a chelik consists of, we're going to see Bezrat Hashem if we're zocha to have a shir on the Shana Rabbah. If we can't imagine, we'll talk about it. Managing on the Shana Rabbah, at least as a sukkah ebbs away, how important this whole idea is in terms of chelkecha. So the idea is that the tzulim, what do I need to push to get something that is not a din in the kesayas? Because I want it. New mail. Okay, but the Gargaranim, they would call the people that they kind of got their piece, you know, so they would call them like the gluttonous, you know, as if that's the real point. So they would push, you know, and they would be chaylik. So it's mashma. They actually, how could they be chaylik? They could be chaylik by buying off the other person's piece, you know, I'll outbid you, you know, this aliyah is 700 shekels. This piece of the lechem upon him that belongs to the other guy, I'll pay him 700 shekels. So now I'll have enough to have it, because that's what it's mashma. So how else are you choking? So apparently you can buy it off of them, which must mean this could only go according to a shita that holds that the Kohen has an actual monetary right, because otherwise where would they get it from? Where would they get it from? Grab and run. That's where they would get it from. What do you think they're going to pay? My chokim chotfim. They grab. That's the pshat. Like we see in the Sefer of this Brisa, famous Brisa. There was a guy who took the other person's chelek, and they used to call him Mr. Grabber till the day that he died. So Tosfos asks the obvious question. You remember the story of the lion and his son, right? So, okay, so here the lion has been training his son to go out and not to be afraid of anything. He's got to go and he's got to attack, right? A few hours later, the lion, little son lion, comes running back with his tail between his legs. So daddy says, "My God, what happened? What happened?" "Oh," he said, "I came, was coming up to the gate of the city. And on top of the gate of the city, they have a picture of this human standing over a lion, and he's just killed the lion. He's got a spear in his hand, and this is like a Zulu, and I don't want to meet this. I come running home." "Oi," says Daddy Lion, "if that happened every day, they wouldn't put it on top of their gate, let me tell you." So Tosfos asks, that's exactly the point over here. If the Braisa is bringing a Raya, that they called him the Ben HaChamtzan Ad Yom Moso, it's obviously not the standard that they were collecting from other people. You're proving the opposite, right? So sweet. So Tosfos says, yes, the point is that when the Tznuim were Moshe Nesyadeyim, so the Chotfim would grab the Chelek of the Tznuim, because they know the Tznuim, they're not going to fight, so I'll take his Chelek. But this guy, he took it from another Chamtzan. So he's going to start taking everybody's family. Then they called him Ben HaChamtzan. Okay, in any event, there's no riot from here that there's a shita that says that there's an actual monetary right. That's the point. I'm a rabbi bar of Shila. So, you know, why do we call the guy Ben HaChamtzan? It's sort of weird because, I mean, you'd think you would call him Ben HaChamtzan, right? Because they're Chomes. So why are we calling him Chomets? Is that also a lotion of grabbing? That's Chatifa. Micro, where do we see that someone who forces other people to give him their peace is called a Chomets? Because we find that Dovin HaMelech is Mispalel Elohai, Balteini Miyad Rasha, Mikaf Me'avel V'Chomets. What's a Chomets in that case? So obviously, he takes things from me that are really mine by putting me under pressure. Maybe it's a blackmailer, but whatever. It's extortion. It's people who put other people into a matzav where they lose what's even theirs. And that's a mavel. Mavel is a person who misrepresents things and so on. And unfortunately, we're surrounded, mamish, by that. So you see what the Indian of Chometz is. Rabbi Remeyacha, Limdu Eitev, famous posse, Dirshu Mishpat, Ashru Chamotz, Shat Chamotz, the one who has been chamotzed. So obviously, we're talking about the victim of the Chometz. So because of that, they called this guy the Ben HaChamtzan. Okay. Then we had, in the next piece of the Mishnah, very curious machlokas that didn't really seem to make any sense on the surface. And it was like a backwards machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about what the din is, binogea shogeg or mezid, in the issues of Meiser Sheni and Hegdash. So, I mean, first of all, we need to talk about Rabbi Meir's specific approach that the din of Meiser Sheni is that it also is considered to be a type of Kedusha, and because of that, it's Mishulchan Kavoah, and it's not Momen Hegdash. Okay. So that's the first, before we get into exactly what's the difference of Shergeg Mesid, which is weird, because, I mean, they seem to go in opposite directions, because, I mean, according to Rabbi Meir, Meiser Sheni is never Kiddush, and because it's not yours, doesn't matter if it's Shergeg or Mesid, if you gave it to her, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says when it comes to Meiser Sheni, Shergeg is not Kiddush, Mesid is Kiddush, and then when it comes to Kodesh, as we'll see, we have the opposite approach, it's very strange. So, I mean, not emulates. First of all, where do we get the idea, according to Rabbi Meir, that we should view Meiser Sheni as being actual Momen Gavoya? I don't know exactly who was that said this, but I do know that this was the general way in which the Gemara was given over. It comes from the Pasuk V'chol Maaser Haaretz, Mizera Haaretz, Mipri Haetz. Look at this. Lashem hu kodesh Lashem. Oh my God, it says Beferish. Meiser, that's taken, referring over here to Meiser Sheni from the whole context, bring it to Yerushalayim and so on. It is Lashem. And it's Kedush Vashem. So what are you asking me where I get it from? You know how to read a Pusik or not? Says this is the fairy. It's Kedush Vashem. So we learn that Maaseh Sheni belongs to Hashem, Vashem. And that means it's not yours, L'kadesh Bo Isha. It's yours for whatever the mitzvah wants, to go to Yerushalayim, take it up, and to eat it there, and so on. That's it. Yes, wait a minute. The same exact language is said to Gabi Trumat Maaser. Nobody holds that the Trumat Maaser is considered to be Kadesh. And it says, Kain Tarimu Gam Atem, here it's talking to Levim. So when you get your Maaser, you have to take out the Trumat Hashem from that Maaser, right? And what's the din over there? Does somebody hold that using Trumas Maaser or Truma of any kind, that that's not considered to be yours to be Mekadesh as a Isha? It says Beferish, HaMekadesh, Betruma, any kind of Truma. Betrumot is the Lush, which means whether it's Truma, Trumas Maaser, Chal, anything that's called Reishis and Truma, it's perfectly good Kedushin. And we're going to have this Mishnah Mamish coming up. And over there, we don't find the Machlokas. So how do you explain that, Rebbe Meir? Why all of a sudden by Truma is it okay, even though it says Truma Hashem, and here you're being Medayik, Hashem means that it's true Hashem. Says Rebbe Meir, you know how to read? Trumat Hashem is not the same thing as Truma La Hashem, is it? La Hashem means it's given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Trumat Hashem simply means it's the Truma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzvahing me. Fine, this is the Truma that I know from the Mitzvah Hashem. What does it have to do with what I'm talking about? I'm saying over here that the Maaser is given to Hashem. It doesn't say anywhere the Truma is given to Hashem, does it? Wait a minute. Trumot includes anything called Reishis, Truma, Truma's Maaser, and Challah. Now it does say La Hashem, ha ha ha, by Challah, because it says over there, Dichtiv ba. There by Chala, it says, Beferish, the Lushan of Lashem. It says, Mireshit, Arisotechem, Titnu, Lahashem, Truma. What are you going to do about that? And over there, it's exactly the same as all of the other Trumas. Mekadesh is Aisha, is kosher. So don't tell me the differences between Lahashem or Trumas Hashem. That's not a good answer. Well, no, oh yeah, that's true, but it doesn't say Kadesh over there. It just says Lahashem. Okay, but it's not Kodesh Lashem, so it doesn't get any Yisurim. Mashen came when it came to the Maaser Sheni, it says Kodesh. That's the pshat that it was Kodesh Lashem. That's what I was being medayik, not just the fact that it's given Lashem. I was just pointing out that if it doesn't say Lashem, there's nothing to discuss. Okay, so that's your answer. Nice answer, but it doesn't work. Because didn't we also have Beferish in the Mishnah? What the din is Mekadesh with Shvius? It was the whole thing over here. That it was those nice figgies, and they belonged to, they'd grown in their fields, but it was Kedusha Shvius, and you see from there that you can be Mekadesh by Kedusha Shvius, and by Shvius it says, Yovel hi Kedesh ti Elochem. It says Kedesh there, but it's not a Mekadesh by Perah Shvius Mekadeshes. That's what we just had in the Mishnah. Very sweet. But you're trying to hide the fact that it doesn't say Lashem. I wasn't substituting the word Kadesh for the Lashem. I was putting the two together. It's Kadesh Lashem. Don't ask me from a place where it says it's Kadesh. It is Kadesh, but it's not Lashem. That's what I'm saying. By Maaser, it says Kadesh Lashem. Okay? It doesn't say that by Truma. It doesn't say that by Chala. It may say Kadesh by Shvius, but it doesn't say Lashem. It might say Lashem, but it doesn't say Kadesh. That's the point. Put the two together, and what do you get? Mishulchan Gavoya Kazochu. Therefore, you cannot use it. The only place it says that is by Maaser. Oh, now, wait a minute. What about just plain old-fashioned Truma? And we're coming right up to that din right now in Shmini Atzeres. Dichtiv Kadesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tvuasai. And that is Kadesh LaHashem Reishis Tvuasai. We're comparing it to Truma. And nonetheless, it says, I'm a Kadesh B'Truma is Mekudeshes. You see that even though it says Kadesh LaHashem, it doesn't matter. What do you mean Truma? It's talking about Yisrael. It says Kadesh Yisrael LaHashem Reishis Tvuasai. So why are you asking me from Truma? Excuse me. But if the entire marshal of Yisrael is that it's Kadesh like Reishis, and that is called Kadesh Lashem, so Mamela, you see that that's the meaning of Truma. So Golov Mamela Shamat Minaz, you see from here, it's comparing it to Bikurim, and Bikurim or Truma, all the rishis are also the same way. They're Kiddush Lashem. It's still a good kasha. You can't answer it by saying it's referring to Yisrael, because you see that that's the metaphor for Yisrael. Targumah Ravin Saba Kameh Rav. That's because by Maaser Sheni, you forget there's a whole special diet by Maaser Sheni. By Maaser Sheni, as opposed to anywhere else, we have the additional word, the Chol Maasar Ha'aretz, Mi Zera Ha'aretz, Mi Pri Ha'etz, Lashem Hu, Kedush Lashem. Hu means not that there's elements of Kedusha associated with it, but that it itself is a chevtza of Kedusha. Hu, that's the point. So it means Bahavayato Yehe, as the word who is always, remember, the existential term. It goes on being that. And therefore, if it says the word who, it's giving it an existential definition, in which case that's not going to change. And once you make that Maaser Sheni, it's a different level of existence. It is and remains a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why Rabbi Meir was saying that when it comes to keeping the Kodesh HaSayisha, it does not apply. Okay, now, the next piece that you started talking about was the difference between doing it b'shogeg and doing it b'mezid. So now that is still very confusing to me. Why is there a machlokas on one way or another, Aliba de Rabbi Meir or Aliba de Rabbi Yehud? So when it comes to Hegdash, so it says if you used Hegdash and he gave Hegdash b'shogeg, then he was not Kiddush. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, no, Rabbi Yehuda says just the opposite. If he gave it to her b'shogeg, then he is Kiddush. But if he gave it to b'mezid, then he was not Kiddush. I mean, how does that work? So let's try to think about the meaning of Rabbi Meir's psak. Why does he say the Hegdash is not chal? And we'll see, therefore, what the point would be, even though we've skipped, because, I mean, Rabbi Yehuda said the same thing very strangely about Maaser Sheni, the difference between Shogeg. And he said, if you did it for Shogeg on Maaser Sheni, then she's not Mekudesh. Now, look, I mean, speaking to Talmidei Chachamim, I mean, we know that when it comes to the din of Me'ila, there the Torah makes the difference between Shogeg and Mezid, right? Because the whole parsha of Me'ila is that if you were Mayo B'shogeg and you were ashamed, meaning that B'shogeg, so then you bring the Korban Asham and then you have to pay the additional 25%. Okay, there I can hear that at least there's some kind of distinction between Shogeg and Mezid. But what the heck? How did Rabbi Yehuda start making a difference between Shogeg and Mezid when it comes to Maaser Sheni? That I really don't understand. I mean, but okay, let's skip that for a moment and try to understand what the difference is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir when it comes to Hegdash. Because, I mean, Mela to say Behegdash, Bemezid Kiddush, according to Rabbi Meir. Okay, that makes sense. Why would it make sense? Because I could say that maybe the din is that if I did it b'mezid, so then I took the Hegdash out of the Rishus of Hegdash, and therefore it became Momen Hedyot. Maybe that's the meaning of Me'ila. Me'ila means that, what does Me'ila usually mean? Like it means by a Saitan. That you took the relationship with your husband, and you acted with it with Begida, with treachery, to give it to someone else. So you took it away from your husband. So the same thing is true over here. It's the same Lashon, Mo'alama. We'll see the Gemara actually compares it later. And therefore, the idea over here would be that if you did such a terrible thing and you acted with Hegdash, as if you have a right to steal it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you maul Hashem, so then fine, then it is no longer Hegdash. So in that case, what Rabbi Meir would be saying is, if it's no longer Hegdash, so then it's yours. And therefore, you could use it for whatever you want. I mean, what you already did, the Isser of removing it from Hegdash, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, just the opposite. If you did it b'shogeg, so then it's a good kiddush. But if you did it b'mezid, it's not a good kiddush. So how exactly would that work? Well, I mean, the truth is, look, there is a difference in how to read that pasuk about me'ila, nefesh ki timo ma, v'chata b'shkaga. So now, if the Torah is talking about Mi'ilah, the way it's talking about Mi'ilah by Saita, then if you didn't even know about it, I mean, how do you call that Begida? I mean, you never would have done it, you know? And if you had known, so is that really the same as the idea of Mi'ilah? But the other way of understanding Mi'ilah is the other popular use of the word Mi'ilah, that it's something that was taken illicitly. It doesn't matter how or why it was taken. It's only the fact that it was moved away from one rishus into another rishus, right? And that's basically the way that it's darshaned in the Braisa, and the Gemara brings this, that there's a difference, that this means kitimo ma'al, the lashon of the Sifra that the Gemara brings is ein mi'ila ela shinui. So there's two ways of understanding mi'ila, begida or shinui. Shinui, obviously, could mean shinui, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezeg. So that, I understand, is a major question. How do I understand the pasuk? If I read mi'ila in the pasuk, the way the Sifra learns the mi'ila, so then the pasuk is saying, in a case where the shinui was done b'shogeg, it says b'feresh, v'chata b'shkaga, so if it was done b'shogeg, then indeed it's taken out of the rishus of Hekesh. Oh, says Rabbi Yehuda, if that's what it means, so then if I did it b'shogeg, I could be mekadesh and isha with it. But if I did it b'mezid, then I couldn't be mekadesh and isha with it, because the Torah only gave this halacha in cases of shagaga. So let's take a look at that. And then, meanwhile, we're going to hear, this is why the Gemara sets it up like this, because meanwhile, Rabbi Yaakov addressed Rabbi Yehuda's previous discussion about Maisa Sheni, which has nothing to do with any of this. Where would he get the idea that by Maisa Sheni it makes a difference whether it's Bishoge or Bemezi? So I'm a Rabbi Yaakov. Actually, I heard directly from Rabbi Yochanan two explanations, one of which explained why Rabbi Yehuda makes the difference Bishogeg and Mezid for Meiser, Meiser Sheni, and one of which explains why Rabbi Yehuda makes the difference between Shogeg and Mezid for Hekdesh. The only problem is, says Rabbi Yaakov, that I can't remember which explanation was for which. That I don't remember, but I'll tell you what he said. So he said like this. Rabbi Meir told me that when Shneim, this idea in both cases, that where you say that ein isha mitkadeshes, there's two issues to take into consideration. In one of these cases, now I'm not sure, as I say, I'm not sure which one, but in one of these cases, the issue is that we assume that the woman is not interested. She would not, had she known, she would not have accepted it. So chodeh lefisha ein isha rotza, and he told me that one of the cases that neither of them want. Now, this is a completely different approach, because this has to do with the da'as as opposed to the question of the ownership, right? Okay, so now let's see how we could apply the issue of da'at. I have this terrible feeling that the Naftali is sort of hiding there, but he's not quite present. You know, if he would share a little bit more, I might be persuaded that he's actually in his... well, I guess a sunroof has a din of a silk, and maybe if you would put some schach on it, but this doesn't look good. My gosh, running around during, there we go. Now take a little bit of schach, and we can run around as much as we want. Looks like we've got a dolphin Akuma over there. That seems to be all right. Okay, excellent. So how does Das figure into this case? I'm not sure which one neither of them wants and which one only the woman doesn't want. So I can't figure it out. Says Rabbi Yirmiyahu, well, I mean, let's use our brains. What do you mean can't figure out? Seems pretty clear to me. Nirzeana. Okay, I say we should try to think about this. I mean, if you're coming to Meiser, all right, so then the woman would not want to accept it because she would say, what, you're crazy? You're giving me something. What am I going to do with this? I got to go schlep to Yerushalayim to eat it. This is what you give me for Kedushin. So I don't want this. Too much trouble. Yishub dircha de urcha. Bashenkin, he's very happy. Man, I would have had to go to Yerushalayim. Now I get a free wife. I let her do the trouble. So I might as well start using her trouble right now. So, okay, so she wouldn't want that, but he would be perfectly happy. Okay, so then that would explain Rabbi Yehuda. Had she known, that it was Meiser, she never would have accepted it. And therefore, it would not be Mekudeshet, because it's like a ta'ut that she accepted it. That explains Rabbi Yehuda. Now, so that must, I mean, it only makes sense according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's the woman who's the problem. Because why should he find it to be a problem? Ashenkin, when it comes to Hekdesh, look, neither of them. It's a terrible thing, the Ma'amal Bashem. I mean, why would we want Hekdesh, because of our mistakes, to go into Chulin, and that should be the simon of our wedding? Ay, boy. So they would both, really, had they known, they never would have wanted to utilize Hekdesh for such a thing. So therefore, neither of them. Why would either the man or the woman let Hekdesh become Chulin just through them? So that applies to Rabbi Meir, where Rabbi Meir says, if you use Hekdesh, so then nobody would want it to be a Kiddushin if it's done b'shogeg. Therefore, the whole thing was a mistake. Brilliant. I don't know. What exactly is your problem, Rabbi Yaakov? Like, you can't use your brains. You don't remember which one he said. I mean, think about it, and you'll understand which one he says. Says Rabbi Yaakov, you know, I love these people who are always so sure about everything. Like, yes, it's absolutely clear that this is the only way to look at it. I mean, maybe there's another way to look at it, which is why I thought of what you said, and it's not good enough, my friend. I'll explain to you there's another way of looking at this. How about if we look at it like this? As we could certainly say Yipcha Mistavra also, maybe just the opposite. I mean, you could say that when it comes to Meiser Sheni, she doesn't want it because she's going to have to schlep. But he doesn't want it either. Why doesn't he want it? Because he's going to have to take out an insurance policy on it. Since over here, it isn't worth anything. So the Kedushin is only going to be Chal when she gets to Yerushalayim and it's worthwhile. But when she gets to Yerushalayim, at that point, what if something happened to her? I mean, this is a woman you're talking about. What are the chances she's actually going to arrive and it's still there? Dvorah's going to kill me. What are the chances that it's still going to be there, right? Either someone will grab it from her. She's going to forget where she put it. She put it in the glove compartment. She left the car open. So who knows? I mean, the chances of it's arriving intact, you know. So he's going to have to take out an insurance policy to make sure that it's actually worth something when it gets to Yerushalayim. So because of that, Bishum Unsidu Urcha, it's going to be his responsibility. Ach, forget it, right? So he also doesn't want it. Maybe that's the pshat, right? Now, the question is, I mean, this is the way that Rashi's learning over here. She's saying, you can't sell it here, in outside of Yerushalayim. So because it isn't worth it, who would want to buy it here when he's going to have to schlep to Yerushalayim? Mashenkin, he'd be showing him, asking, what kind of pshat is that? I mean, what if it's a lot? What if he gave her like $100? Isn't it worth 10 cents? I mean, it still would be worth a pruta. So enochin army, there are those who learn that Meiser Sheni, outside of Yerushalayim, everybody is made that you cannot utilize it. And nobody holds you can use it for other monetary purposes. But there's a brilliant other shot, why he would bedavka. This is such an insightful shot. It's absolutely marvelous. So why would he take out an insurance policy if it's still worth money over here? Because she's going to kill me again. Because men know that elephants never forget. So if there's a grudge, that grudge is going to be there forever. Okay. So she gets to Yerushalayim. And it's now lost. She doesn't have any use for it. And this woman is cursing him out. What a mamzer. He gives me something. I had to schlep to Yerushalayim. He dafka gives me this to save himself the trouble. This is the way that he's makadish me. Man, oh man, I ain't going to forget this one. So this is our wedding starts off right on the right foot, right? Nobody is going to do that because he's never going to recover. So therefore, he'll obviously invest in an insurance policy. Don't worry, honey. It's all taken care of. Just put your passport card in to the Beis HaMikdash and they'll give it to you in exchange for the lost Meiser. Fantastic. All right. So isn't that a marvelous shot of Rashi? Oh, it's amazing. You know, my father-in-law, Zatzal, he's like a big Talmud Chacham. He's sitting there in his 90s. And, you know, his wife is still dining this and dining that, you know. So what would he always say to her? You know, Fredo, we don't have to start at Meiser Bereishis. That is brilliant. Anyway. So good. So Mashenkin, when it comes to Hegdash, I understand why she wouldn't want the Hegdash, because she doesn't get anything out of it. I mean, let him pay for good money. I understand. Why should he? But he's going to use me to be Mechal Hegdash. Get out of here. So I wouldn't want it. So she is not Nechalah, the Tekel Hegdash Al Yada. But he, I mean, what if he doesn't have any other money, right? So you're right, he's going to have to pay it back to Hegdash. Okay, so he figures, all right, so I'll take it now and I'll pay it back later. So this is my chance to get a wife. It's good could die for me. The nickname to Tom the Mailer. This way I don't have to run to the bank. I can just take the Hegdash that's in my wallet. So I don't know, says Rabbi Yaakov, it's so clear which one Rabbi Yochanan was applying to which case. But I can tell you that I know that he utilized these things as a sfora. Okay. So now let's take a look at some of the implications. Let's see, we got some problems over here with Gabi. We're going to have to get him a new shipment. But listen, you know, Naftali, if you look carefully, you will see that I am wearing a Pringle shirt. It may look familiar to you, right? And that Gabi is missing his boost. So now put the two together. Uh-huh. You understand the implications. We got to get him some Gabi bait. But in any event, getting back to the implications here of Rabbi Meir Sheet, what would this tell you about the status of the money? Because, I mean, Lamaisa, what we're saying is that the Das is Koveya. So if the Das is Koveya, that she would have preferred not to accept this, and therefore there's no Kiddushin, so then there was no Me'ilah. Right? Because in the end, I didn't actually do the Shinoi. I didn't transfer it out of the Rishus of Egdash. So what would be the din? Is the money now Chulin because I attempted to transfer it? Or does the money actually have to go through with a real Kinyan in order for it to be Yotze Rishus Egdash? So if the guy did a Kedushin, even though the woman, when she realizes it, he doesn't want that Kedushin, which passes the Kedushin because it's like a Mekach Tovus, but he did the act, even though it wasn't Chal. Is that enough for it to be a Me'ila and it loses its din of Hekdesh? Said Rav Chista to Rava, well, I understand what you're saying. If there was no Kinyan, Isha in Mitkadesha, so where did the Mos Yotze L'chulin? Mos to be Yotze L'chulin requires the use of Hekdesh. So you'll say, oh, so that's the case. So where did Rabbi Meir, how does Rabbi Meir understand the Pasuk? The Torah says if there's an accident, right? There's an accident and you use it not knowing. So then you're going to have to pay the extra to Hegdash and bring a Korban Hashem. Now you're telling me, but it didn't go through. So let me ask you something. Is the case in the Pasuk maybe where you used Hegdash to buy somebody's field? Maybe that's the case. In other words, maybe the case of the woman, she wouldn't want to use the Hegdash for Kedushin. But if you give somebody most of Hegdash to purchase something from him, so maybe that's the case. So what would be the din of Mecher, according to the way we're understanding it now, the Rabbi Meir? How about the Mecher? Would the money go out of the Rishus of Hegdash? Or my money? It's exactly the same. Why would somebody want you to be able to use him to be Mechalal Hegdash, to buy his field? Go get your own money. Get out of here. I don't want to be part of this. So it's exactly the same thing. In which case, the money was not Yotze. So wait a second over here. So what would be the case where you actually were Mechalal Hegdash because you didn't know it was Hegdash? Well, it was a very simple case. You ate it. You didn't know it was Hegdash. You can't say it's a Mekach Tovus on the eating, right? So, Lamaisa, you ended up taking the Hegdash, okay? That would be a simple case. All right, so Rav Chiya Bar Avin says, I'm not sure that you're right with this stuff about buying things, because we've got a question in the case of the Mishnah over here in the Ila talks about where the Gizbar had money in a container, and he gives this money, thinking it's his money. He brings it into the bank. In those days, remember, the bank is called the Benko. It's the Shulchani. Okay. So he gives it to the Shulchani. And so the Mishnah over there says there's a big difference whether he gives the Shulchani cash. So you're presenting to the teller a bunch of bills or a bunch of coins. Or whether you give an envelope or a wallet which is a completely different thing. If you give a wallet, so then the understanding is that that wallet was supposed to be put in a safe deposit box. You're not supposed to open the wallet and use it and credit it to his account, right? Okay, so over there we make a big difference in the halacha. If the guy who was the money changer himself, I mean, that's the bank, that's the shulchani, so if he takes that money, so then he is chayev of me'ilah if he took it out of your wallet. But if you gave it to him to use by making a deposit, which is the meaning of making a deposit in a bank, you use the money and, you know, you give me interest, whatever the case is, you make me an interested party. So over there, in that case, even though I told you to spend the money, but that's yesh liach l'dvar avera, so then it would be the person who gave it to him who was b'mayel, okay? So fine. What is the din if you do the same thing to a bala bayit? So you go over, you give a friend a wallet. Obviously, he's not allowed to use the wallet. But if you give a friend cash, it's exactly the same. He should put it in an envelope and put it aside for you. You're not giving him the cash to use. So in that case, if you give it to a bala bayit, he's never considered to be a shliach. And therefore, we don't have any distinction between a wallet or not a wallet. But what if you give it to the makolet? That's the question. So now, I mean, on the one hand, the makolet is not taking for granted that he's meant to use the cash that you hand him. If you gave it to him in envelope, so, okay, obviously he couldn't use it. You give him cash. So the question is like, what do you think? You gave him cash, you don't owe him any money. Do you mean that since you understand that sometimes somebody comes in, makes a big purchase, you need change, maybe you want to have change, you don't mind because you gave it to him. You don't mind his using this cash to conduct ongoing business? Or do we say, wait a second, I mean, you know, the little bits of money that you need for change, I mean, you're not giving it to him for that. And so you'll say, okay, but I mean, how's he supposed to pay for deliveries and so on? I mean, you know, he may need a lot of money. No, not true, because for deliveries, generally he buys on credit. That's usually 30 days credit, as Gemara says elsewhere. And therefore, you didn't have in mind that you're going to help him out. Okay, so that's a machlokas. What's the din of giving it to the makolet? So Rabbi Meir says it's the same thing as a bala bayit. He had no right to use the money. And Rabbi Yudit says, no, he does have a right to use the money. Okay, but that is a minor issue. An issue of what your das is when you give money to a makolet, right? To akan lo kamiflage, the only makolokas here between Rabbi Yudit and Rabbi Meir is what your intent is. So Marsava Khenvani Kishulchani, Marsava Khenvani Kabala Bayit, but everybody's made it that someone was male, right? If the money is used. So the question is, was he acting as a shliach or was he not acting for a shliach? So that means if you used Hegdish money to pay for something, so then it's considered to be a actual mehila. And you just said, excuse me, Rukhisa, you said if somebody uses money, even if it's for Mecher, not only for Kiddushin, nobody would have wanted the money to go out from it. Therefore, the whole thing is batal. And you said, if the whole thing is batal, that there's no change in the status of the Kiddushin money. So now you see that that's not what Rabbi Meir holds. They're only arguing about whether he had the right to use the money or not, and therefore, who's the Shliach? That's all. No, it says, Rabbi Chisda, you don't understand. Rabbi Meir, that Mishnah was not telling you his Shita. I'm telling you that according to Rabbi Meir, the money never goes out to Chulin in these cases, Bishogeg, because the guy would not have wanted it. But what Rabbi Meir was saying was, look, Rabbi Yehuda, let me tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, Ladidi, I hold even if the Chenveni, or the Balabayit, was motzi the money, there was no Me'ilah because it was a mistake. But according to you, you hold that Bishogeg, that's how you understood Me'ilah as meaning Shinui, not like me, who understands it to be a big Gidah, right? So according to you, who learns that it's a Shinui, at least be later that in this case, a Chenveni is like a Balabayit, and therefore he had no right to spend it, and therefore he's not a Shliach. And Rabbi Yudin said, no, I disagree even about that detail. He's not changing his mind and telling you that over here, that there is a din of Me'ilah, according to me. I never hear there's a din of Me'ilah unless you eat it or something, you know? So, okay, so what are you saying now, according to Rabbi Yochanan? That the whole issue over here is, what is the intent? Is it a Kenyan or is it not a Kenyan? If it's not really a Kenyan, then there is no act of Me'ilah.